Cities overthrown, empty streets, people deserted. And I have been praying to God and going through, because when we heard this, we began to rest. We wanted not to be responsible for people's lives. We have been in Chicago almost every month. Almost every month we're in Chicago. Because Chicago is a place we go from to go to all the different places. And we have been up and down giving the word to the people and telling them exactly what God said. But without a vision, the people perish. Amen. And God has put prophets in the church.
Amen.
And I hope that you are listening to the right prophets of God. God says he has apostles, next prophets. Apostles, next prophets. He has shepherds, he has teachers, but he has apostles and prophets that will come to you from time to time. Never reject the word that comes to you, for it might be the saving of your life and the lives of your own people. Hallelujah. So then God begin to show me things, and I have been faithful in delivering these. Tonight, when I came here, I said, Lord, what do you want to say to your people tonight? Because the same manifestation that I had with Jesus in the room is with me tonight. Amen. He's telling me what to say. I cannot plan a message because I have a living water that is flowing. And it's flowing to you. And I do believe that those who are here tonight are here for a purpose. That God has specifically talked to you about coming. Some of you had a hard time to make it. Some of you, it didn't seem that you were going to be able to come. Hallelujah. And yet there might be somebody coming, hustling along the street, coming still to get his or her share of what God is saying. So, praise God. There is a foolish shepherd, and there is a foolish ministry, and there is a foolish bride. You hear me?
Yeah.
Amen. There is a wise bride, and there is a foolish bride.
Amen.
Now, the wise bride had oil in her lamp, and she had oil. Where? In a vessel. Now, without going around, you know, we're preaching, you go around and around. I'm going to tell you directly what I'm talking about. Your lamp is your spirit.
Amen.
Have you got the Holy Ghost?
All right.
Amen. Then you have oil in your spirit.
Yeah.
But if you don't obey the Holy Ghost,
amen,
you won't have any oil in your lamp. Sorry, your vessel. You have oil in your lamp, and you need oil in your vessel.
Amen.
Now, your lamp is your spirit, and your vessel is your soul.
Amen.
Now, some people come to church, and they speak in tongues, and they shout, and they dance, and they go home, and they cuss.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. It means that you might have oil in your lamp, but your vessel is in a bad state. Praise be to God. And so God is saying you must make sure that you have that oil in that vessel. Because at midnight, what's going to matter is the oil in the vessel. It's not whether you have the Holy Ghost or not. It's whether you did obey him. You know what is worse than not having the Holy Ghost? Is to have the Holy Ghost and not obeying.
Amen.
I don't know if you've ever seen anybody like that around here.
Yeah.
You see churches, whole churches, doing their own thing.
Amen.
Whole congregations not following the Spirit of God,
amen,
but following their own mind.
Amen.
Glory to God, amen. I tell you, I have seen ministers preaching the messages that they publish every week for ministers to preach. Did you know that they have such a thing?
Oh yes.
They tell you what to preach. When Easter come, you couldn't dare preach to that congregation anything else but the Easter message.
Yeah.
When Christmas come, you got to talk about the baby in the manger. See, praise be to God. As far as I know, there's no baby in any manger. That's something past gone 2,000 years ago. The baby should be in the manger of your heart long time. Amen. Glory to God. He should have grown from being a baby long ago and be a matured son now. But instead of that, every Christmas you take up a little, make a manger, and you all trot around the manger. Amen. Have following Babylon. You better forgive me if I touch anybody's toe. Because, praise God. If we don't correct one another, we're all going down to God. Amen. You better believe it. Some of you have so much distress at Christmas time. So much distress to buy confetti, you know, to buy pretty lights, to buy Christmas tree. And it is all the trick of the devil to waste your money and to destroy you. I've always said to my friends and to the brethren, never you buy anything at Christmas if you can do better. Don't buy any clothes at Christmas. Don't buy any toys at Christmas. Because at Christmas they double the prices. When Christmas is over, you get all these things to buy cheap in January. Blessed be the God Almighty. They take us and they make merchandise of us. Merchandise of us. Amen. You wonder, we are Christians. Why didn't we keep Passover instead of keeping Ishtar? I say Ishtar because that's the real word. They want to turn it into Easter to fool you. Easter is a heathen feast. That was long before Jesus ever came here. And they make the stupid virgins, I mean the foolish ones, amen, to be keeping Easter. And the worst part about it, in Ezekiel, I think 38, somewhere around there, it tells us about the ancients of the house of Israel going up on the hill and looking toward the sun, worshipping the sun on Easter Sunday morning. Don't you know that happened from down in Babylon? Don't you know it was long before Jesus ever came here that they had some Easter morning services?
Amen.
Sunrise services.
Amen.
Who tell you to do it? Shucks. Hallelujah. Who told you to do it? Did Jesus ever tell you to go have any sunrise service? I'm telling you, the people of God have been made merchandise of. Amen. You are their stock in trade. Blessed be the God Almighty. If all the Christians in Chicago stop buying all those foolish things, those shops would shut up. You believe me, if you should boycott Easter, and if you should boycott Christmas, many of those shops that are selling all those trash would be closed.
Amen.
After Christmas, you ever look at people's trash? Huh? You must go. I'm going to ask you. Do this as a favor to me. After this Christmas, you drive along the streets and look at the trash that comes out of people's house.
Amen.
All the foolishness that they paid for, they throw it out.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Foolish virgins.
Yes.
You need oil in your vessel. In other words, our vessel is our soul. Our soul is our mind. The way we think, our emotions.
Yes.
What we use our emotions to do. Amen. God wants us to get ourselves in order.
Amen.
Because at midnight, there is going to be a cry. And the cry is, behold, the bridegroom comes. Now let me tell you something. Babylon has fairly well disfigured our gospel. Oh, you better believe it. They hit the doctrine of Christ. They hit the blood. They hit everything that is important to us. And unless, and you remember when Samson kept fooling around with Delilah, he lost his eye. Oh, glory to God, amen. The church is a blind institution. They are not seeing where they are going. They are following blindly. Follow the leader. And because of this blindness, hallelujah, God is beginning to anoint his people and anoint us to come out of this Babylonish system and to get Babylon from out of us. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of the desires we have are not desires of God. They come from Babylon. Amen. A lot of the feelings we have, the way we behave, it comes from Paris and London and Hollywood. Woo! My God. Amen. I would like to see the girls wearing a style that comes from heaven. Yes. I'd like for them to walk down the street, and when the people ask them, hey, where you got that style? We said, heaven. We got the style from heaven. Blessed be the God Almighty. Amen. It seems to me that we have a tendency towards being foolish virgins. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I'm not coming here to call you foolish, right? I just believe that we have a tendency, a little bent to be foolish virgins. And at midnight, there was a cry. God help us. Behold, the bridegroom comes. You know the two verses that affect me most in the Bible. Verse 6, behold, the bridegroom comes. And verse 10, and the door was shut. I believe some people don't read the Bible. Because they preach certain doctrines and they behave certain ways and they don't see that God is saying that we only have a time to fool around. That the door is going to be shut. And there will be no more going into that bride class. Amen. If you come in, you might have to come in with the Jews in tribulation and fire and blood. You hear me? Blessed be the God Almighty. I want you to see tonight because, you know, this is what God said to me here for you. And I believe that you need it.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
I believe that since he told me that, then you do need it at midnight. Now, let us ask ourselves the question, when is midnight? When is midnight? Now, first of all, it's pretty dark now, right now. It's pretty dark. I've never seen such darkness in the world from I was born. And that's quite a time ago, until this time. And I never knew that it could have been so dark. For what I see churches doing now, the behavior of church, I was in San Francisco. And I saw a long line down the street, turn around the curb. So I what is it going on in there? When I came to the head of the line, it was entering into a church. A big Methodist church, downtown San Francisco. And I said, but what is it? Why are so many people lining up to go to church? I've never seen people line up to go to church. It seemed to me that church is a place that is mostly empty. You know, I never seen people lining up to go to church. They said, don't you know? Don't you know what that is? That's the homosexual church. Oh, no. That's the church where they dance and hug and kiss and have rock church. It's a rock band in there, and they're going to rock for the rest of the service. And people are lining up to get into the rock church. Blessed be the God Almighty. Amen. I tell you, we're gone a far way down the road. The darkness is increasing.
Amen.
And I'm going to show you something here that should really excite you. I don't want to make the thing too long, you know. But I could keep you all night if you really got excited. Now, if we turn our Bibles to the 6th chapter of Revelation. And I'm going to show you something here. In verse 5, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see, thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see," and look, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, hunger, death, and the beasts of the earth. Let me tell you what I see here. I see that God is saying to us, after the darkness will come the destruction. This is what he's saying. That after the darkness that we see in the world, the darkness that is increasing, darkness in the church. Remember, the church is supposed to bring light.
Amen.
Darkness in the church. Sin in the church. Sin reigning. Abomination. Standing up in the holy place.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Reigning over the people of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is saying the next move is destruction.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
You know, one time David was, he sinned. And God was going to punish him. And God said to him, "David, what punishment will you accept? I'm going to give you a chance to choose your own punishment. Should I make you run 3 months before your enemies as a punishment? Or should I punish you myself?" And David said, "Oh no, God, you punish me." She said, "Man has no conscience." She said, "When man, if you put me in the hand of man, he has no..." God help us. You know what? I believe with all my heart, brethren, and I want to share it with you, that this country is going to fall in the hands of man.
Amen.
And the suffering and the destruction and the punishment will be great.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not speaking to you that you should get up and run. For how would you know where to run to? You tell me. You tell me of a safe place. I remember some years ago we were preaching in a church, and the minister of the church began to teach that the people must run and go to the wilderness. And they took off to the wilderness. And it was a peculiar thing that the wilderness they were running to up in Canada, the Canadian wilderness, that the American government made an agreement with the Canadian government that in the case of war, Canada would be the battlefield. And America agrees to repair all the damage that would be done with the atomic weapons if the enemy should come through Canada to the United States. So they were running right into the path of where the enemy would be.
Yes.
Praise be to God. I am saying to you, brethren, you cannot run. The only hiding place is in Christ Jesus. When you are hidden in the secret place of the Most High, what did he say? You shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Eh? He said the arrow that fled by day. And I believe God knew that the little arrows that the Indians used to use, you know, that they were going to replace them with big intercontinental ballistic missiles. Oh yes, the big things that Russia have that goes over the sea, over the continent, and come into the heartland. And the big things that we have to go over the sea and get into their heartland. Don't you know that God's going to punish all the nations of the world for their sin?
Amen.
Amen. It's not one nation that's going to be punished. It's that all the nations that God is going to be punishing for their sins. And God says that you are the people of God in the midst of the nations. Should be able to cry to your God. Amen. And should be able to turn the tide. And should be able to deliver yourself and your people. From any enemy, from any destruction. But if the people are careless, if the people are foolish virgins, how are we going to deliver them? I notice there's a split in the church. I don't know if you have it down here, but there's a division in the churches.
Amen.
People are leaving. People are being separated.
Yes, amen.
People are being divided.
Amen.
People that used to listen to certain doctrines, they are the gospel, the good gospel of Jesus, they are rejecting it for something else.
Amen.
That means there's a division and a separation. Hallelujah. God told us that at a certain time in the end of the world, that his angels would come forth and that they would separate the wheat from the tares.
Yes, yes.
You hear me? And that the tares would be put in bundles being prepared for fire.
Yes, yes. Amen.
Amen. If you are with the wheat, you know, if you are tares and you got yourself in among the wheat, fire won't catch you. Amen. Because the wheat is not going to be burnt. But the devil is working with false doctrines in the churches. I have heard some false doctrines I never heard from I was born. Believe you me, I never knew that people could believe such fallacies. And they... churches are being divided by doctrine, by devils.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, as the churches are divided, God is also marking his people in their forehead.
Amen.
Let me tell you, it's a fact that the people of God are getting stronger.
Amen.
And those who don't love God, they're getting weaker.
Amen.
They will tell you they're getting stronger, though. But they're getting stronger in weakness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They're getting stronger in weakness. Because the thing that is going to destroy them is that Psalm 91 that says, he that dwelleth. Did you hear that? He that dwelleth. If you don't dwell, you're in trouble.
Amen.
If you're a run in and run out,
amen,
you're in trouble.
Amen.
Not he that runneth in and runneth out. Is going to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. But there's a place in God. There's a place in God that is safe. Safety. Oh yes. You know, I read a story of a brother in Hiroshima when the Americans dropped the bomb over in Hiroshima. And he was that morning going to move a sister, help an old lady move from one place to another. And as he was walking between two rocks, the bomb blasted and he was thrown down between the rocks and not a scratch. He wasn't even scratched. Another group of Christians were saved, not touched. They were half a mile from where the bomb blasted. And you know you can't be half a mile from any atomic bomb and survive. They went down into a basement to pray. Early morning prayers. And when they went down into the basement, a great shaking. And when they came up, there was no city around them. They were not touched. Let me tell you, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God, you shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will serve the Lord. He's my refuge. Amen. He's my strong tower. He's my deliverer. Nothing's going to happen to you. Don't doubt it. You are in the middle. Let me tell you something. You are in the center of a doomed city. You are right in the center of a doomed city. And I believe why Chicago has been spared so long is because of the Christians. But God was speaking to me recently about the destruction, and he said, let the people pray. God, save your people. Remember to pray that God save your people. For it is God's intention to save his people.
Amen.
And we believe that the devil is helping some people to be foolish virgins.
Yes.
Because he does not want you to be delivered. And so he is bringing all manner of distractions to you. Now let me come down a little and tell you a little secret. And I don't know if you're going to agree with me, but you better ask the Lord about what I'm saying. That what happens to the wise virgin is that they opened up to Jesus, and at midnight Jesus came in a secret coming. Did you know that there is a secret coming of Jesus Christ? That he will come to be in the bed, and he will come to one and the other didn't know. The other will be left for destruction or taken to destruction. That two men will be working on the gospel field. And one will be destroyed and the other one will be left untouched because he had the Christ in him. Do you realize that the preservation of the church is the Christ within you? Do you realize, brethren, God said to them that sigh and cry, amen, because of the abominations that are committed, those were the people who received a mark in their forehead. Do you understand that the scriptures say that he shall come as a thief in the night? He will come as a thief in the night, in the which, he said, the earth shall be on fire. You hear me? In the midst of the destruction, Jesus will creep in and come within the saints that are ready. Don't let them deceive you that everybody is going to, Jesus is going to come to everybody. Jesus is coming in a secret coming. You read Matthew chapter 24 from verse 38 going right down to 45, and you read it prayerfully and say, Jesus Christ, tell me what this is saying. It is saying that if you don't watch, your house is going to be broken up.
Yes,
he said, because he's coming as a thief in the night. And he said, there will be destruction and distress of nation. Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be widespread destruction and distress. And in the midst of it, Jesus will come within the church to preserve her and to save her. Say, but I have Jesus already. Jesus already come in me. Amen. You know, Jesus come in me already. I don't need that kind of preaching, you know. Oh, bless God Almighty. Hallelujah. Oh, bless God Almighty. I am not satisfied. Thank you, Jesus. There is yet something in me. That is incomplete. Oh, let the foolish virgins go on saying they are perfect. Let them go on preaching that they're all right. I am not perfect because I yet have imperfections in me that I hate. And if I hate it, God hates it too. That the coming of Jesus Christ that we should be looking for is the coming within. He said that some of these foolish virgins beat one another and cheat one another and commit all kinds of atrocities against one another, and they knew not that the Lord would come and cut them asunder. Don't you know, brethren, that when I hurt you, I hurt more inside, because I am damaging the throne of God within. Don't you know that the throne of God is your heart? When God talk about the throne of David, what do you think he meant? You think he meant a big old piece of a wooden throne or golden throne or something brass they were going to build over in Jerusalem, and Jesus was going to come and sit down on top of it? Let the carnal and the foolish virgins think those nonsensical thinking. But let the people of God arise in their thinking. Let them arise in their hearts and let them see Jesus as sitting on the throne of God within our hearts. Brethren, if you don't know repentance, you know, sin happens to us all. We're not condoning it. We hate it. We despise it. Yet sometimes we fall in it. And if we do, we have an advocate with the Father. So we do not have to remain in it. You get up and say, Jesus, cleanse me. And God will come and cleanse you and set you straight and help you and fix you so that you won't fall again. And whether you fall again or not, he's going to help you, strengthen you, give you the strength until the day when you can walk with your head up high and say, thank God, I am free. Thank you, Jesus. And nobody should be foolish virgins. We should never be foolish virgins. But because some of us just love deception,
Amen.
We will not even repent.
Amen.
And God Almighty is saying that there is going to be a cry very soon. Now listen, brethren, I'm not telling you it is this year. And I'm not telling you it is next year, but it could be. You hear me? It could be. Because the way the world is set now, tonight, God lifts his hand. The Bible said, he that letteth will let. Tonight God lifts his hand, and you know what happens? Hell could be let loose to the whole earth. You hear me? And if that happens, it means that there will be such a distress and such a destruction on earth that never was since God made man onto this earth.
Let me read it for you. Turn your Bibles with me around to Daniel.
Daniel chapter 12. And verse 1 says, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. There is going to be a great revival. There's going to be something so great that we have never seen before. People will be rushing to this place and crying for you to pray them into God. But there's going to be a destruction that we never seen before either. Praise be to God. To confirm that word, you turn back to Matthew. And you take Matthew chapter 24 and you see Jesus saying it. Now Jesus is quoting Daniel. See, Jesus is quoting Daniel. And Matthew 24 and in verse 22, you see the same thing. Verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Did you hear that? Yes. Jesus Christ said that the time is coming when there will be a destruction on earth as never was before. When Jesus said these words, there was no atom bomb.
Amen.
There was no atom bomb. There was no hydrogen bomb. There were no the destructive weapons that men have now. Man could not destroy the earth. But God said that if God didn't intervene, the world would be destroyed.
Amen.
So you must understand what Jesus is talking about, that we are in the time right now.
Amen.
And God is calling to the wise virgins.
Yes. Amen.
What must we do? What is God saying to us tonight? Let me bring it down into a beautiful conclusion. God is saying that every soul here tonight should make a covenant with God. To open up yourself to the things of God. That if you were fooling around in the past, that you're going to make a covenant to do it no more. Now is the time now for us to turn to God. See, God said, when you shall see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, he said, then run up into the mountains. And the Spirit of God is tonight saying to you, brethren, time to run.
Amen.
Time to run up in the mountains.
Amen.
Time to turn away from the things of the world.
Amen.
Time to begin to look to God for your deliverance. Because the more you open up to God, the more God will prepare that seat of Christ within you.
Amen.
Amen. You see, the church is busily talking about the coming of Jesus. I hear them talking about it, talking about it, talking about it. But some of them say that Jesus Christ is going to come in the air and going to rapture them off. And while the Russians are rolling in, they will be rolling out. Well, let me tell you something. The Chinese Christians thought the same. Oh, yes. I've had Chinese Christian friends, and they refuse, many of them refuse to leave because they said before the communists hit them and before the destruction and the persecution, God is going to lift them up in the air. So they were all preparing to be lifted up in the air, and they never went anywhere. They were crucified. One Chinese man was crucified with his head upside down, and he was left out in the sun, and a piece of him was cut off every day for 7 days before he died. And that church underwent untold suffering. The suffering was so great that they sent to the headquarters of the Church of God over in Tennessee, and they sent a letter to say, have we done anything wrong? Have we missed Jesus? Did Jesus come and we missed him? What have we done? That church that preached that false doctrine could not respond to that letter. They couldn't respond because they didn't know the answer themselves.
Amen.
They've been busily preaching a doctrine of rapture.
Amen.
They've been busily preaching that they would be taken out and that caught up in the air and they'll be having a good time up yonder.
Amen.
When we go up yonder, they sing. And we'll be having a good time up yonder while fire was poured out on the earth. And so I asked one of the bishops one day, I said, something bothers me about that doctrine. I said, if God is going to burn up the earth, and God is going to burn up this earth to ashes, an unquenchable fire, according to your doctrine, then you tell me, what would we reign and rule over when we come back down? You reign and rule over ashes. Nothing to reign and rule over. You know, it's just a simple childlike question.
Yes.
Amen. And they don't think of that. And they have all kinds of theories. But it is the time for deception.
Yes.
And it is the time for deliverance.
Yes.
If you will accept the truth that the Spirit of God is at this moment coming in you.
Amen.
That the coming of Jesus Christ is at this moment in you.
Yes.
Every day he draws near. He said, pray, our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come.
Yes.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God, do your will in me. Have you been praying that in the morning? Have you been praying that in the day? God, today, as I go out in a jungle, oh glory to God, as I go out in the jungle of savage beasts, do your will in me like you do it in heaven, my God. That should be your prayer. Lord God, give us this day our daily bread. Somebody tell you must be praying for food. Amen. You must go over your dining table in the morning and say, give us this day our daily bread, Lord. When I say, God, give me the daily bread, I'm talking about my portion of Jesus. Yeah, I'm talking about the portion of God which belongs to me for the day, Lord God, that I might be what you want me to be, Lord God, for today, Lord God. Amen. Shalamahanda. The greatest prayer that has ever been devised is the Lord's Prayer, if we can only understand it. God, it goes on, and say, God, forgive me of all my sins, as I forgive my brothers.
Yes,
hallelujah. If that isn't something, you know what it says in the converse? God, don't forgive me if I don't forgive her. Some people come praising God. That's why some of us can't get anywhere. The church, listen, Jesus will leave some of us. Jesus will come at midnight as a secret coming. And some of us will be not receive him because we have been praying amiss.
Amen.
Oh, yes. You can't pray if you cheat me. You have to go get rid of that problem before you pray to God. You can't pray and a lie.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
We are going to have to be more diligent about the things of God. Forgive me, God. To the same measure and to the same degree that I forgive the other brothers and sisters. And yet somebody is doing a hard thing and you say, I can't forgive him. Well, sister, God say, I can't forgive you. Because the person who does not forgive does not have the capacity to receive forgiveness.
Amen.
You have damaged the place where you receive the forgiveness.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And if you can't forgive, you can't receive forgiveness.
Amen.
God help us. Say, if thou carry thy gift to the altar and there rememberest that thy brother hath ought against thee, leave thee here. Don't pray.
Don't pray, God said. Leave there thy gift at the altar and go and be reconciled. I wonder if we have anybody here who is not reconciled to somebody. If Jesus come tonight, you couldn't make it. You couldn't make it. You hear me? Just go say, look, brother, whether I was wrong or right, I'm sorry. I didn't want to hurt you. I didn't want to do any good. I just wanted to do you good. Hallelujah. Forgive me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I would hate to know that Jesus come and I am looking the tribulation in the face and he didn't come in me. Because let me tell you, what is going to save the world is the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. When it gets so dark that it couldn't get darker. For Jesus to descend into some people, they are going to stop the enemy and cut the time short. By their prayers and by the power of the Spirit in them. Did you hear that?
Thank you, Jesus.
Do you believe that? Then I want you to act upon it. Go to God tonight and say, look, God, I want to make a deal with you. I want to be one of those. Sometimes a preacher preaching, you get 20% of it. You don't get all of it.
Yes.
Well, you can get this tape afterwards. I'm not going to leave you on that. Afterwards, you just ask for the tape. You get the tape. Amen. So, again, if you don't have a tape recorder, use your faith and get one. Just pray to God for one.
Amen.
If you need a tape recorder, you call it, I have a tape. You know, the man went to the lady, he said, the lady, I've got a button. I would like to have a shirt to match it. He started with a button. Amen. You got a tape, you go to God, say, God, I got a tape. Ha-ha! I want a tape recorder to play. Bless your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Shugobala Shandala Mahaya. Thank you, Jesus. And so, praise God. I don't know if you're used to long preaching, but you know, sometimes I want you to understand this, that after Jesus comes within that certain part, those five wise virgins, you see, five is the number of the ministry.
Yes.
And you have five, and you have five. But one five is the symbol of the five wise virgins, which is the right hand is the symbol of the Spirit. And the left hand is a symbol of the five foolish virgins. See, now, if we understand the symbolism of this 25th chapter, God is saying that there is a wise ministry and that there is a foolish ministry. And if you go into your concordance, you must learn to study your Bible. Go into your concordance and you take the word wise and look it up. And then you take the word foolish, and you'll be shocked to see, right through the Bible, God speaks of the foolish shepherd.
Yes.
I give you the instruments of a foolish shepherd, said the Lord, speaking to his prophet. And there it was a foolish shepherd. There were the foolish virgins. Now, virgin is somebody clean. Yeah, when God said virgin in the Bible, he's talking about the church, the clean church. He's not talking about the thing out there. He's talking about the one in here. So there are some of us in here who are not prepared. We receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and we never go one inch further with it. We have not been allowing the Holy Ghost to lead our lives. In other words, Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Jesus Christ must be your head, or else you're in trouble. Blessed be to God. Praise God. Now, I'm closing down, and I'm going to, after I've closed, I'm going to take another 5 minutes. And I'm going to ask you to ask me any question that comes to your heart pertaining to the Word of God and to the Bible.
Not necessarily something we preach tonight. Anything the Spirit of God. And I believe if you ask me a question, the Spirit of God is going to tell me the answer. Okay? That's fair. But it's only 5 minutes we're going to spend. Okay? Now, let me close with this. That after the Jesus, the Christ comes within you, and there is a 3.5 years of Christ ministry, just like Jesus, we follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. So Jesus Christ ministered for 3.5 years after he baptized. Flesh and blood, but supernatural ministry. There is going to be that supernatural ministry in the earth to save the people of God from total destruction by the beast. Do you understand? Now, then Jesus will come himself, the man named Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And we and him will take over the world. God bless you. Amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, if you have any questions, let us have the questions quickly, for I'm giving you 5 minutes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't be ashamed. You won't ever embarrass me. Ask any old question. Hallelujah. And just come right forward. Just speak it out as the Lord leads you. You are free, and we are at home in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Well, praise be to God. Not even one question. Yes, brother.
Yes, sir. I know back in those days, they didn't have no cameras or nothing. I want to know about these pictures that they have with Jesus Christ.
You really want to know?
Yes, sir.
They are all live. Hallelujah. Well, it's going to be a big thing to explain. The pictures that they have of Jesus Christ are from two main sources. One is imagination, and the other is from Babylon. They have, if you notice that the picture of the apostles that you see sometimes, you know, they have on the walls. They took the gods of Egypt and the gods of Greece, and they took those gods and they used those things as the picture. The picture of Mary, for instance, is the picture of Venus. If you take Mary, some Catholic Mary, and you take off that veil and put it beside the picture of Venus in any book, you'll find that it's the same woman, the same picture they use. The other day they discovered that the statue that they have in St. Peter's Square, where the people go and kiss the toe and say it is Peter, the statue of Peter, it was one statue that was taken from the Greeks in a war, and it is the statue of the god Cronus. So this is what I'm saying. They're all lies. Amen. God bless you. Amen.